They are very tasty eating, but most of the blackberries that grow in our region are invasive species, and they can run wild. Just take a look at the small blackberry bushes you remember from last year. They are probably big blackberry bushes this year. Fortunately, there are things that can take out blackberries that do not involve either gas engines or hacking with a machete. Things like goats. Goats can munch blackberry bushes with no harm to the animals, and they've been used in many places for blackberry control, but goats are livestock. So in Medford, for example, it took city council approval earlier this month to bypass the anti-livestock ordinance and let the goats go to work. Let's talk about where and the process and catch up on other council business with Clay Berenson, who is a Medford City Councilor just completing his first term representing Ward Number 2. Thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
So right now, you can't have livestock anywhere in the city of Medford?
Only hens.
Okay, so that I was going to ask you about chickens because it seems like
that was a big talk we had for the past year was chickens.
How big a talk did that get to be on the chicken situation?
It just kept swaying back and forth between, you know, what was the number we was allowed, were we not going to allow? I mean, it was all a result of like one distraught neighbor that was unhappy with her neighbor.
And it is just hens. It's not roosters, right?
Yeah, roosters are still prohibited.
All right. Did you think when you got out of the city council 4 years ago that you'd be dealing with livestock issues?
I really didn't know what I was going to deal with. I think prior to my arrival on the council, they were talking about dogs and aggressive dogs.
Oh, right. And potentially banning some breeds and things like that.
Yeah.
That was an issue several years ago. You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
I didn't. Fortunately, I just missed that one, but...
So is it pretty typical for any urban area that, you know, it's going to be farms over there and city over here, and you're going to try to keep the two of them separate?
Well, I think as Medford's growing, eventually, I mean, as any town grows, you start to, you know, that push that boundary out a little bit more. And I know that, we just recently expanded our urban growth boundary, so, you know, there's acreage that's coming in there, developable acreage.
That's a big question, though, about developable, it seems like. So it has to be, I mean, you can't annex exclusive farm use land, for example, can you?
I don't believe so, no. I know that we're not allowed to expand so much on the west side is because it is agricultural. It's an agricultural barrier.
So let's talk about the situation with the goats here. Then you got a request from the Bear Creek Golf Course, was it?
Yeah, they came to a meeting, I believe it was the first council meeting in this month, and they requested for it would be like a conditional use permit to allow two goats to eat their vegetation, their overgrowth.
Interesting. So just two goats required that level of, okay.
It's kind of funny, the AI, the agenda item commentary said 32 goats, and it was just a misprint. So we're like, well, I don't know about 32, but two we'll probably go with. So we went with two.
32 would have presented a bit more of an issue than two, is that?
Perhaps.
So I guess people are wondering, this is interesting, why this came to the city council? Why not be a staff or just enforcement level decision?
I just think he was directed to the city council and you know, there's a public comment section before every meeting, and I just think that was the fast track through. So
what was there any particular deliberation or discussion about whether to allow the two versus the 32 goats?
Very brief. I mean, we all see the value in you know, natural weed abatement and, you know, having livestock take care of it as opposed to, you know, chemicals that cause cancer.
Did you set any particular parameters as a council? Did you give limits? And I mean, we were just asked in a specific number of goats too. But what about in time or space, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I believe there was like a 1 year kind of check back with us reporting thing to see how it's coming along and how it's working out.
Do you ever get concerned as a council member that you let one set of people say, yeah, you can have goats to clear out the golf course, and then you're going to have a stampede of other people saying, I want livestock for this, that, or the other thing?
Sometimes. I mean, I can see it in the commercial use, but, like, you know, I don't think people should probably have goats in their backyard in downtown.
So this has happened before, though, hasn't it? I seem to recall a few years ago, and maybe it was before your time in the city council, there was a similar request to have some clearing of blackberries along the Bear Creek Greenway. That involved hiring a goat company. In fact, I remember interviewing the guy on the air who owned the goats and did the whole process. Was describing it to us. You put plywood sheets out and let them climb up and start munching the top of the blackberries and so forth. So a fairly detailed operation, but not something that's come before the council in your time on there?
No, not in my time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it doesn't sound like a bad idea. I mean, we have a lot of overgrowth on the Greenway that, you know, is a bit of a fire hazard. And, you know, I would rather have it naturally abated before, you know, spray a bunch of chemicals on them.
Clay Berenson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a Medford City Council member from Ward Number 2. We're talking about goats on the golf course, and we'll move on to other issues as well. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760. or Gmail, rather emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's expand the focus just a little bit from goats to other livestock, because we mentioned hens briefly and how that's been an issue, but I think you've also had some requests for bees and some other things along the way. So, it's an interesting set of issues that seem to evolve over the course of somebody's time on the council. So we're talking basically you coming close to the completion of a full term now. And talk about the evolution of livestock issues, and then we can expand from there.
Yeah, there was recently, I mean, probably one of the first or second year that we were on there, somebody wanted to, there was no ordinance to allow beekeeping. And so we voted to allow a beekeeping in the city limits. But, you know, there was people who came to the meeting and, you know, there were some that were, you know, upset and distraught over it. There were some that were concerned about, you know, allergic reactions to bees. But I mean, at the end of the day, we were, you know, it's their presence is a pretty innocuous presence. It's not like your neighbor has bees in the backyard. They're going to invade your turf and come over the fence and sting you. I mean, it was. I don't know. There were legitimate concerns, but you know, it's the benefits of having bees around, I think, definitely outweigh the fear of not having them around.
So you as a council member, I'm just curious to know what the view is, because I used to cover Medford City Council for a bunch of years at Channel 12 in Medford, and it's interesting the things that still come before the city council, things like, can I have two goats to help get rid of my blackberry bushes? And I wonder how you see that as a council member, whether it's refreshing to still be dealing with seem like fairly small town issues, or whether you'd rather be dealing with bigger and better things, or whether those are the bigger and better things.
I like the outside of the box things. I mean, I like it when, you know, we're presented with something that is thinking outside of the box. It just seems like, you know, historically it's always been, well, that's what we always do. It's kind of been the sense that I pick up. And so, you know, we have new refreshing ideas. I'm pretty welcoming to them just because I've grown up in the Rogue Valley. I've grown up in Medford. I've seen the deficiencies of, you know, representation from their local government. And so I really make it a point to really, you know, keep an open door and keep an open ear to people's concerns.
Growing up in the Rogue Valley and watching other people do it, is this what finally motivated you to go ahead and decide that you were going to become a council candidate yourself?
I think so, yeah. I spent a lot of angry years reading the paper and watching the news, and I finally decided that armchair quarterbacks don't win the game, and if I want to do something, I can have a local, you know, you have more of an impact serving locally than, you know, you would in Congress. You know, it's boots on the ground in Medford, and, you know, I have a genuine concern about the direction that Medford is going, and you know, historically it hasn't been, you know, me growing up in the Rogue Valley, you know, there hasn't really been a lot of representation for the youth. I mean, we're down to one swimming pool, you know. I feel like that, you know, the youth are underrepresented in Medford, and I'm really hoping that, you know, in my time on the city council, we can, you know, get an aquatics facility, you know, maybe take some of this marijuana tax money and use it to you know, supplement children from low to moderate income families if they want to participate in extracurricular activities. And, you know, they have these barriers. They don't have the resources to participate. And I'm hoping that maybe we can take some of those monies and do some good for our community with it.
Has there been any progress on an aquatic facility? What you're talking about here is we used to have Hawthorne and Jackson pools in Medford. Hawthorne pool closed a few years ago, got filled in. It's just, you know, part of where the pool was is just a regular part of Hawthorne Park now.
Yep.
There was a discussion briefly, it seemed like, of a water park for Southeast Medford with a couple of different features. That seemed to run aground fairly quickly. So has it been revived at all? Or is it just more abundant at the moment?
I think it's slowly being revived. We do have a special fund that it's an aquatics reserve fund that we're just kind of putting money in to save, you know, to either leverage for federal dollars or pay down bonds. But it was definitely the straw that broke the camel's back as far as my getting involved politically, because, you know, I own a couple businesses in town, and when I saw that the council voted down, pulling a bond for an aquatics facility, you know, I called up a council person at the time, and I was like, hey, what gives? You know, this is going to bring money to the valley. I mean, people are going to stay in their hotels. They're going to come to the shops. They're going to come to my restaurant. They're going to come, you know, they're going to spend money. You know, you go down to Reading and you see a bunch of Oregon license plates. And so that was kind of my argument. And so he told me that you need 5 votes to get something done on the council. So I asked him, you know, all right, well, let's try to get that done. And you know, the rest is kind of a long story.
So Reading does have a water park, and Medford doesn't, and yeah. So that's why the Oregon plate's down there. What kind of, you mentioned a restaurant? Is that you got a couple of restaurants?
My girlfriend and I own the Gypsy in Medford. It's a bar restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that things for youth to do was one of your major concerns. You're concerned about the direction of Medford. Is that the major concern, or is there a bigger one than that?
I just think that the general direction. I just, you know, I haven't seen very in my time there, I haven't seen very much representation for people less fortunate. It just seems kind of a business community and business oriented. And, you know, these issues that were on our doorstep now, they didn't just happen overnight. You know, it was the culmination of a long time of, you know, just kind of not dealing with issues. And, you know, now we have issues that we can't ignore anymore. You know, we have a housing crisis. We have a homeless population. We have these, you know, we have we have two or four jail beds in the Jackson County Jail at any given time. I mean, there's no fear of retribution from when you commit a crime in Medford because there's no place to house criminals. And so, unfortunately, it's catch and release. They book them and they're out the door before the paint or before the ink dries on the paperwork. And I think that's really concerning too, because it's having adverse effects on you know, everyday people, just, you know, having their property stolen or vandalized or whatever it is. You know, it's kind of getting out of hand. And so, you know, it's really time to buckle down and come up with a collaborative solution to really tackle some of these issues.
Clay Berenson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ward 2 Medford City Council member coming to the end of his first term. He is up for re-election this fall. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about Medford City business and what's going on in Medford generally. We're not just limiting this to goats on the Greenway anymore. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Ward 2 is southwest Medford, right?
Yep.
Okay, so which it's a fairly low-income part of town.
West Medford is definitely on the lower end of the spectrum.
And what are some of the things that you'd like to see that's within the city's power to do that would help to rectify some of the issues you're talking about with the housing crisis, with homeless people on the streets, all that?
We're already starting to take some steps now. I know that we just voted on SDC deferrals. So any developer, if they're building houses, then all of the SDCs are due at the time of occupancy, I think. Either the time of sale or the time of occupancy, one of those two.
So system development charges. You have to pay for infrastructure.
Yeah, those impact costs that are usually paid up front. This will lower the barrier for people with smaller development companies that want to get into the game and build housing. That's one thing we've done. We also passed a 1/3 of 1% construction excise tax that will go into a fund that will go toward affordable housing, or if developers come up and they want to forgive or pay for the SDCs for them to build a multi-unit complex, we can take the money out of this construction excise tax fund. About $550,000 a year, I think, is what it's supposed to generate.
Through those kinds of efforts, though, can you generate enough housing that there'll be a fairly good-sized stock of stuff that goes for below-market rates? Because that seems to always be the issue, where even if you get a place built, after a while it reverts to market rate and you're back to where you were.
Yeah, there's incentive. I mean, there's property tax abatement. We can abate property taxes for, I think, up to like 25 years or more on houses. So if people, you know, agree to have X percent of this multifamily unit complex be for Section 8 voucher or be affordable housing, then we can abate the taxes for up to 25 years for them.
Abate completely or just give them a reduction?
We can abate their property
really?
Tax.
So they wouldn't pay property tax. So this is not a go back and owe it 25 years later. It's just not pay it.
No, this is tax abatement. So because you're right, it doesn't really pencil out for developers to build a house and then sell it for below market value. But I'm hoping that we can offer incentive for maybe, you know, 1,000-square-foot houses or less, you know, something for a workforce family can afford. I mean, the median family income in Medford is about $45,000-$50,000. And, you know, a lot of the houses that are being built on the southeast side, you know, people who live in Medford can't afford those houses.
So you were talking also about the issue with the jail space and the fact that there's no particular deterrent because people realize they're not going to spend much time in jail if it's a lower level sort of crime. Mm-hmm. Medford did open a new police station in the last couple of years and chose to open one without adding back a jail space, which the old city hall had and hasn't had for probably 25 years now. But I mean, was there any discussion of perhaps providing a city lockup for people who commit offenses in the city for their short term confinement before trial?
As far as I know, there was, and I think that it was just a liability issue, and it was a liability issue that the city wasn't really ready to take on.
So it's just a matter of, like, you know, we could do a jail, but boy, we got all kinds of insurance and risk management issues.
I think it was a combination of a bunch of a bunch of things that probably influenced that decision.
So you mentioned that you got Monday morning quarterbacks don't win games, and mm-hmm. armchair quarterbacks don't mm-hmm. win games, I guess was the quote. So when you decided to go from the sidelines into the game, I mean, what were some of the bigger surprises in trying to get accustomed to your role as somebody who was in a position to take part in the decision-making process?
Just absorbing all that information. I mean, it really is like putting your mouth on an information fire hose, and you know, and you find out, you learn all the processes that which everything goes through before it even gets to the council. I mean, you learn the role of the commissions and committees that we have. You know, they're volunteer too, and so you know they're volunteering their time as well to help give us recommendations, you know, and stuff to vote for. And so you know you have a lot more respect for the process. And prior to me being on the city council, I really had an unfavorable opinion about the government and about the process. And you know, I've come around about 179.5 degrees, but I still have that bit of distaste for the man, but I don't think you'll ever, you know, you don't forget that. You don't forget where you come from, and that's definitely still a part of me.
So you're half a degree from being the man yourself, is that what you're saying?
I'm half a degree from full conversion into the man.
So what do you want to do then? I mean, and I'm not trying to turn this into a campaign discussion here, but the fact is you got more things you want to do because you are running again. So, I mean, what are the things that you can see now that you would like to do better next time through?
I would like to add to have more of a plan when it comes time to introduce things, and have more information available to present to my fellow counselors when it comes time to present arguments in favor or opposed to certain things. And I think the biggest things that we're dealing with now are housing, homelessness, and what do we do with this, you know, $600,000 in marijuana tax revenue that we're getting. And I really am adamant, and I really want to make sure that we spend that money in a way that our community sees. I don't want it to get buried in the general fund. One counselor proposed trying to gap the PERS deficit with this, you know, with this Band-Aid. And so I really want, that's something I'm really passionate about. I really want to make sure that we spend that money, it goes back to the community, and it goes back to either something for the kids, something for the homeless. I mean, there's talk of a homeless shelter being constructed somewhere in the valley. You know, if some of that money can help finance some of the yearly operations for the shelter. I want to formulate an upward mobility program mm-hmm. to like help people assimilate, you know, to have services available, essential safety net services available to people to help them along their way.
Okay,
you know, but in order to do that, you know, there's a lot of pieces to bring together this puzzle. I mean, we got to get the housing piece of the puzzle. We got to get the continuum of care piece of the puzzle. You know, there's so much to bring together.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens if you get reelected. Clay Berenson is a Medford City Council member. Thanks for talking to us about goats and so much more.